Is the Schnitt Show.
Yeah, I'm not feeling really positive about Alex Trebek here. You know, if you remember, if you're a regular Schnitt listener, I don't know when it was, sometime in September, when Good Morning America had that interview with Alex Trebek from Jeopardy, and I said, man, this is kind of morbid. This sounds like a farewell. When he talked about his cancer coming back, it was just his demeanor, the way the conversation went. I like Alex Trebek. I'm a Jeopardy fan. You got to give the guy a lot of credit. I mean, the guy is, what, 79? I mean, he's knocking on 80, and he is spry. I mean, he acts like he's a 40-year-old. Except, of course, he's got this pancreatic cancer. And pancreatic cancer is, well, among the worst types of cancer you can get because the cure rate is just not very high. And when I saw the interview that I talked about from back in September on Good Morning America, I'm like, oh, man, it's like he knows that he's done. It's like he knows that it's not going to be much longer. This is sort of his farewell tour, his answers, his responses. I just thought there was a great deal of it had a morbid feel to it. And I brought that up. And now the latest is that his skills have started to diminish amid the new rounds of chemotherapy. He said, I'm not afraid of dying. I lived a good life. This is a new interview that he gave with a Canadian network, CTV. And he says, if death happens, why should I be afraid of it? And, of course, he's battling stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That diagnosis came back in March, and he was responding well to treatment. And, in fact, he came out and said the cancer was virtually undetectable. And then this sucker came screaming back. He says, I'll keep doing the show as long as my skills do not diminish, and they have started to diminish. That's what he said in this interview on CTV, Canadian television, Canadian News Network, CTV. You know, the question is, who's the heir apparent? We brought this up last time. Who's going to take over Jeopardy? I mean, it's a very popular franchise. The amount of money that, was it, Sony Pictures, Sony Television? I mean, it's a huge amount of money. I mean, Jeopardy makes a fortune. So they're going to keep the show going. And I know I brought this up in the past, Jeopardy with Alex Trebek. I mean, it's kind of like The Price is Right without Bob Barker. I mean, it's just not the same. You know, I don't dislike Drew Carey, but it's just not the same. I mean, The Price is Right. I know they say that, hey, no one's irreplaceable. Everyone can be replaced. Listen, that's true, but do they carry the same big stick? Do they have the same aura, the same appeal? And I would argue in all cases, no, they don't. Because, I'm sorry, Price is Right is just not the same without Bob Barker. Come on down! You know, as far as I'm announcer-wise. You know, when you look at the Price is Right announcers, you had Johnny Olson. When I was a kid, it was, this is Johnny Olson speaking for The Price is Right. A new car! I mean, Johnny Olson was great, but even that Rod Roddy guy did a great job. And now you listen to the Price is Right announcers, it's just not good. They just don't have the same flair. That's the Come On Down music, by the way. Isn't that great? That's the... And then, of course, the Price is Right loser music. So that's an older version, because I think that if you listen to the Price is Right loser music these days, right after the they've added a blast. They've added a little bit of a, like a hit to right over here. They've added a new hit right there, and it's like some kind of percussion type thing. So they've spruced it up. Who was Fleming was the first host of Jeopardy? Art Fleming was. Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm sure I saw it as a kid. So I would have seen it as a kid, but I really don't remember it. But Alex Trebek made Jeopardy his own. Thanks, Sue, for the Art Fleming information. 800-801-8999, the number here on Schnitt, 800-801-8999. Oh, there is another item. What did I do with that? Hang on a minute. Completely shifting gears here, and I've got to get into Trump. We got whistleblower news. We have the State Department blocking Sondland, this key witness. So the State Department has blocked him from testifying even after he flew over from Europe. I'll get to that in a second. But on a completely different note here, nothing to do with the crazy world of politics of which we have a front row seat to these days. I don't know if I believe this. A new studyfinds.org story that a quarter of Americans have never eaten vegetables? What the? Come on. Wait a minute. If you have French fries, I mean, a potato's a vegetable. Listen to this. The most popular vegetable in America is corn, according to a survey of 2,000 Americans. Certainly, I like corn. I mean, who doesn't like corn? Corn on the cob, cream corn, boiled corn. Tom Hanks. Oh, why am I? No, not big. It's Tom Hanks. Come on. Thank you, Forrest Gump. Why the hell did I zone out on that? Guess what? I just had a Joe Biden moment. Holy schnit! Anyway, corn. I love corn, but corn is not the healthiest of vegetables, certainly by far. But listen to this: corn is the most popular. Survey of 2,000 Americans asked which vegetables they liked and disliked the most, but it turns out the most surprising aspect of this study is the number of adults who haven't eaten any vegetables their entire lives. What? You gotta be kidding me. 91.4% of respondents enjoy eating corn. Potatoes, a close second at 91.2%. Carrots and tomatoes were tied for third at 89%. And rounding out the top five vegetables are onions, green beans, which are tied as fifth most popular. That's what, at 87%. But on the other side of the deal here, the most hated vegetable is turnips. Nearly 3 in 10 respondents say they dislike a turnip. Beets were a close second. I don't like beets at all. Beets taste like dirt to me. I like turnips, though. I don't mind turnips. But beets taste like absolute dirt. Radishes. I love radishes. Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts. Man, I make a mean Brussels sprouts. A quick, take Brussels sprouts. And people have asked me for my recipe in the past. But, you know, you take fresh Brussels sprouts. You take off the first layer. Get rid of the crummy leaves. You slice it down at the stem. Then you cut it in half. And you keep your Brussels sprout whole. You do a quick 30-second blanch in boiling water, and then I do a sauté in garlic, shallots, olive oil, clarified butter, and salt and pepper in a saucepan. I just, you stir it up, you mix it all up deliciously, you season to taste with salt and pepper, and then you put it in the oven, you bake it, roast it. For, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes, brown them up a little bit. I love Brussels sprouts. I love radishes, too. Those were at the bottom of the list of vegetables that Americans like. But this is what's shocking. I mean, really? One in four respondents, 25%, a quarter said they've never eaten a vegetable at all. And of those who do not eat vegetables, the average person only includes veggies in a third of their meals. Wait a minute. You're telling me that 25% have never had a vegetable? Come on. All right, I would like to go to phones here. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to get any calls on this, but it's 25%, at least of the respondents to the survey. Are there any people listening right now that have never had a vegetable? Come on. How is that even possible? If you have never had a vegetable, I mean, ketchup comes from tomatoes. All right, you know what? Let's take ketchup and spaghetti sauce out of the equation. Oh, by the way, I make a mean San Marzano-based tomato marinara on spaghetti. But if there is anyone listening that legitimately has not had an actual vegetable in their life, I would like to hear from you, because according to the survey, it's 25% of their respondents. I just find that ridiculously hard to believe. If there's anyone listening that has never had a vegetable, I got to talk to you. I got to hear from you right now. 800-801-8999. 800-801-8999. I'll do it again, because I'm thinking that maybe there are people listening that maybe don't call the show very often. So here's the number again. If you've never eaten a vegetable, 800-801-8999. That's the number here on Schnitz. So hopefully we'll get some phone calls on this. I'm just skeptical. I don't know if we're going to get any damn phone calls, because I just don't know how that could be accurate, that 25% have never had a vegetable. At least with this survey of 2,000 Americans. Wow. Another wow is if you have credit cards and if you carry a balance on the credit card or credit cards, what is the interest rate on that credit card? I hope that you are not paying this ridiculously high usurious rate in many cases here. Do you know that most people carry a balance and the APR on the credit cards is over 20% on average? So let me put this into perspective. For every $100 that you owe on a credit card, you're paying $20 more in interest. You're just flushing that down the toilet. That is insane. You can take control of your bills with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Now, LightStream is the real deal. It's a division of SunTrust Bank. You can get peace of mind knowing that you're saving money with an interest rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. How does this work? You got a whole bunch of credit cards. You pay off those credit card balances with the loan that you're going to get from LightStream. And instead of paying over 20% on average, you're going to pay as low as 5.95% APR. I mean, do the math. It could be, like 14 points less. I mean, it's a no-brainer here. Get a fixed rate from $5,000 to $100,000. You're going to pay far less in interest, nothing in fees, never been easier. You apply online. You can do it right from your phone. Get the money in your account as soon as the same day as you apply. And LightStream has a track record of customer service that you can really trust. And my listeners will get an even better interest rate discount when you apply right now. Just go to LightStream.com/Todd. LightStream.com/T-O-D-D. That's LightStream.com/Todd. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. Offer subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Todd for more information.
The Schnitz Show. This is The Schnitz Show.
Kind of what I expected. Sue, how many calls did you just get from people that have never had a vegetable in their life. Yeah, Sue just said tons. With the excitement of Ben Stein and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I'm telling you, I told you, I'm not going to get any phone calls. I can't believe that there are American adults who've never had a vegetable in their life. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, I just don't understand it. 2,000 people surveyed and 25% said they never... There's something wrong with it. I'm telling you right now, there's something wrong with that in this study find. So who did the actual... it was commissioned on behalf of VeggieTracker.com by Dr. Prager's. Whatever the hell that is. That's who commissioned the thing. I don't buy it. I just don't believe it. All right, the other big item tonight, I got to get into the State Department blocking this key witness, this Sondheim, Gordon Sondheim. He's the State Department directed ambassador to the European Union who flew all the way back from the EU to testify, and the White House said no. The other big item, which has broken this afternoon, is the White House is telling Nancy Pelosi, hey, screw you, we're not participating. A really blistering letter is going out from the White House, from the president and the president's lawyers to Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats on Capitol Hill. And in it, the letter is going to say that the president and the Trump administration will not cooperate in the impeachment inquiry. And they're saying that this is illegitimate, that any inquiry to impeach President Trump is illegitimate, and it is just an effort to overturn a duly won election in 2016. It was. Trump won legitimately. Folks, buckle up. This is about to get fugly.
This is Schnitt. Listen to Schnitt anytime, anywhere, 24/7. Get the free iHeartRadio app for your smartphone at schnittshow.com.
I have the letter. I have the White House letter. This is longer than I thought. The letter to Democrats, it is in my hand here, and it is addressed. By the way, this is on White House letterhead. It's from the White House, Washington, and it's dated today, October 8, 2019. It is to the Honorable Nancy Pelosi. Well, we can debate on that. The Honorable Nancy Pelosi, Speaker, House of Representatives. It's to the Honorable Elliot L. Engel, Chairman, House Foreign Affairs Committee. The Honorable, we absolutely positively know that he is not honorable, Adam B. Schiff. I wish it said Adam Schiff for brains, Chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, or just House Intel Committee, and the Honorable Elijah E. Cummings. Oh, man, that would be like E.E. Cummings, Elijah E. Cummings, E.E. Cummings, right? The famous poet and the balloon man whistling far and wee. Wasn't that E.E. Cummings? The balloon man whistling far and wee? So the letter's addressed to four. It starts with, Dear Madam Speaker and Mr.'s Chairman, blah, blah, blah. I write on behalf of President Donald J. Trump in response to your numerous legally unsupported demands made as part of what you have labeled, contrary to the Constitution of the United States and all past bipartisan precedent, as an impeachment inquiry. As you know, you have designed and implemented your inquiry in a manner that violates fundamental fairness and constitutionality mandated due process. For example, you have denied the president the right to cross-examine witnesses, to call witnesses, to receive transcripts of testimony, to have access to evidence, to have counsel present, to have many other basic rights guaranteed to all Americans. You have conducted your proceedings in secret. You have violated civil liberties and the separation of powers by threatening executive branch officials, claiming that you will seek to punish those who exercise fundamental constitutional rights and prerogatives. All of this violates the Constitution, the rule of law, and every past precedent. Never before in our history has the House of Representatives, under the control of either political party, taken the American people down the dangerous path you seem determined to pursue. Put simply, you seek to overturn the results of the 2016 election and deprive the American people of the president they have freely chosen. All right, I'm not going to continue on this thing because this thing goes on for, let's see, one page, two pages, three, four. It looks like 8 pages long here. And it is signed by Pat A. Chipotle, counsel to the, it looks like, I'm telling you, it looks like Chipotle, but it's not. It's Pat, is it Cipollone? Cipollini, however you say this guy's name, counsel to the president. Yeah, I'm not well-versed on Pat Cipollone or Chip, whatever the hell. It's Cipollone. So is he going with Cipollone or like the Italian Cipollone? Cipollone, the San Francisco treat. I don't know, but that's just a little bit of the letter. And as I said before the break, this is about to get very, very ugly. Now, what about, and I don't want to dwell on this because I've got other things to do, and we only have, what, less than 20 minutes left in the program today. Still, Sue, no people that haven't eaten vegetables have called up? Yeah, see, I think that whole study is just whacked. Yeah. All right, so a few people called up, and they only eat potatoes and corn, but those are vegetables. Yeah. And folks are saying that tomato is technically a fruit. Okay, I guess that's true. Tell you what, my marinara sauce that I make with certified DOP San Marzano tomatoes, you know, canned in Italy, good quality certified DOP. My marinara, when I make that marinara, it's so simple. It's the tomatoes, it's olive oil, it's garlic, it's salt and pepper. I mean, it's so simple, but I literally can eat it like soup. That's how good it is. Anyway, you know, the constitutional claims here that essentially any investigation by the House is unconstitutional. I don't think it's unconstitutional. But again, I completely question the motives of Nancy Pelosi. And again, I agree with what the president's counsel says in the letter, that this is to upend a duly elected president. And listen, have things that Trump has done, have certain things made me uncomfortable? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I've talked about those without reluctance on the show. But as far as rising to the level of impeachment, nah, I just don't see it. And I see this as really a do-over because they didn't get what they wanted out of the Russia probe and the Mueller investigation, which, again, I never called it a witch hunt. I never called it a hoax. I just knew that Trump was not in collusion with the Russians when it came to the election. I still criticize the president on the way he deals with Russia. I criticize the president with, you know, what kind of displays he puts on regarding Vladimir Putin and certainly Helsinki. I know that there have been, you know, numerous reports that there is concern about some of the conversations that Trump has had with some of the world's despots. And I don't give Trump a pass on any of that. I don't give anyone a pass. I just don't do it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what party you are. I think everything should be open to examination and commentary. And that's the way I operate. I wish the president would be more firm with the world's despots. on the public stage. And, you know, if you believe some of the reports that are out there, that the president has been too conciliatory to some of the world's worst despots on some phone calls. And I do have concern with that. You know, I had somebody sent me an email. Oh, I'm sorry, it was a tweet. It was an email. I get so much response via Twitter and email. I got an email from somebody who was calling me out. And I think there was a Washington Post story in the last week or so. And someone said, "Hey, Schnitt, are you afraid to talk about the president's phone calls with foreign leaders?" And I sent a note back. I'm not. And they brought up the, I think it was Washington Post piece. And it was Washington Post because I printed this thing out. I saw it. I'm not afraid of anything. And I've talked about some of these stories and some of these rumors along the way. I'm not afraid to do anything on this program. And the fact is that there are allegedly some staffers that have had some great concern about Trump's phone calls with some foreign leaders. I'm not afraid of it. Maybe I'll put this on the schedule for tomorrow. It's just a lot of stuff to deal with here. But the president, who I agree with on most of his policy, and I want him to accomplish most of his policy. I don't agree with everything he does or everything he says, but policy-wise, it's the reason why I voted for him. For the courts, the Supreme Court, and lower federal courts. That's one of the reasons why I voted for him. Doesn't mean I have to agree with him on everything. But I absolutely agree with the president's counsel saying that this is the Democratic attempt to overturn a duly elected president. Because they are still absolutely hell-bent to eject Trump because of the Hillary Clinton loss in 2016, and they thought that they had him nailed to the wall with the Mueller investigation. It just didn't happen. So this is an opportunity for a do-over. I see that. I don't agree with some of the tactics and some of the things the president said in the White House released memorandum on the phone call. Yeah, not conjecture, but the White House released memorandum. Now, granted, that's the memorandum, that's the, you know, the rough analysis. It's not the full, real, word-for-word transcript. I wonder if there is better or worse in that. I don't know. But I can disagree with this president on certain fronts and just say, you know what, Mr. President, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, that's cringeworthy, but it certainly doesn't rise to the level of impeachment that these Democrats are hell-bent on. But also, I don't know if the claim from the president's attorney. So get this straight. I agree with the president's attorney that this is an attempt to try to overturn a duly elected president's election in 2016. I get that. I fully agree. I just don't know if I agree with the constitutional challenge that this is an unconstitutional inquiry. That's what Congress can do. That's separation of powers. That's why we have three branches of government. So no one branch has exceedingly greater power. It's called checks and balances. It's judicial. It's executive. It's legislative. And that's the way our genius founding fathers set this whole damn thing up. All right, now on to the State Department blocking this key witness. And again, it's just been a busy show. This key witness in the House impeachment inquiry was told by the White House via the State Department, I'm sure. Well, actually, it was the State Department that told him, but I should probably say that it was the State Department, but I'm sure at the direction of the White House, that this, you know, this key, or maybe not, maybe it's just a, you know, a known quantity and a wink, because I guess that would be tapped as collusion, right? But this key witness was ordered not to show up this morning at a scheduled deposition. And officially it was the State Department that told Ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, not to appear before the committees chaired by Adam Schiff for Brains That's Adam Schiff, S-C-H-I-F-F-F-O-R, Brains. Adam Schiff for Brains. Elijah Cummings and Elliot Engel. Sondland was featured prominently in the text messages that were released last week. Folks, I got to bring up the speed on this. There's something else. And, of course, we saw the text messages that were released. There are reports that there might be additional text messages on private cell phones. That those text messages were on the official cell phones, but there might be also text messages that were on different private cell phones. So, again, some reports are circulating. Just want to let you know what's floating out there. And we have the text messages. This is when our ambassador to Ukraine, Bill Taylor, suggested it would be crazy to tie military aid to a promise of investigations. It was Sondland who texted back that there was no quid pro quo, no something for something, and instructed Taylor to take the conversation offline. Call me, he texted. It has since been learned that he phoned President Trump before sending the no quid pro quo text. So that's been out there. That's been reported by numerous sources that before he sent the no quid pro quo, that he actually had a conversation with the president. They're going to try to make a big deal out of that, that he was given direction by the president or those that were also advising the president, whatever the status is. So Schiff is livid. He's lashing out of the State Department. He's frothing. He's foaming. He's spitting mad and revealing that Sondland has additional relevant messages on the personal device. So that's where the personal device is coming in. And he promised that he, Engel, and Cummins would subpoena Sondland. Last week, I noted that Sondland's involvement in this whole saga is curious because Ukraine is not a member of the European Union. So why was Sondland a point person here? He's also drawing a lot of attention because he's not a career diplomat by any means at all. This guy made his money. He made his family fortune. Anybody familiar with the old Hot Hits format that I did as a kid, as a teenager? Mike Joseph, Hot Hits. Yeah, with the family fortune game. Yeah, if you lived in Chicago and Syracuse and Norfolk, Philadelphia. Yeah, the old Hot Hits format game. They played a game called Family Fortune. So, I'm sorry. That was, by the way, that was the TM Century Fusion package that was used for those radio geeks out there. So this guy, Sondland, made his fortune in the hotel business, and I guess he hated Trump at first, but came around. He donated $1 million to Trump's inaugural committee. Then he got awarded this ambassadorship. So listen, that's the way politics works. I mean, there's a little bit of swampiness everywhere, folks. You know, donate money, get an ambassadorship. Listen, it's not just Republicans or Trump. It's what happens all the time everywhere. It's like, take a look at Bill Clinton's ambassador or Obama's ambassador assignments. Yeah, take a look at those. Listen, it remains unclear how much longer the administration is going to be able to stop folks like Sondland from testifying if they are compelled. Schiff is threatening to slap contempt of Congress charges on the White House and the State Department. And listen, we also heard that during the Russia hearings. That never happened, blah, blah, blah. In the meantime, support for the impeachment inquiry is on the rise. The new Washington Post poll is out, and it has impeachment support at 58%. That's up from about 38 or 35% from just a few months ago. So that's on the rise. Oh, Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders said he was stupid. Bernie Sanders, he ignored the signs of a heart attack. Here, listen to Bernie. He spoke to reporters today about his heart issue and his hospitalization.
I'll tell you one thing that I look forward to doing. I must confess that I was dumb. I was born, and thank God, I have a lot of energy. And you know, during this campaign, I've been doing, in some cases, 3 or 4 rallies a day, running all over the state.
I must admit that I was dumb. So he's admitted that he was dumb. He was fatigued. I mean, he was exhibiting the signs of a 78-year-old guy that could be prone to a heart attack.
This is the Schnitt Show.
We are out of time. It means that I cannot get to the woman from Vero Beach, Florida, who was arrested and deputies found a glass crack pipe between her buttocks. Yeah, in her butt, they found a... You know what? I'll save this for tomorrow. It's such a lovely story. Have a great night, folks. See you tomorrow.